From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called Food for Our Good, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will join us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Delight and Desires. The text is found in Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight in God has a transforming power and lifts a man above the gross desires of our fallen nature. Delight in Jehovah is not only sweet in itself, but it sweetens the whole soul, till the longings of the heart become such that the Lord can safely promise to fulfill them. Is not that a grand delight which molds our desires till they are like the desires of God? Our foolish way is to desire, and then set to work to compass what we desire. We do not go to work in God's way, which is to seek Him first, and then expect all things to be added unto us. If we will let our heart be filled with God till it runs over with delight, then the Lord Himself will take care that we shall not want any good thing. Instead of going abroad for joys, let us stay at home with God and drink waters out of our own fountain. He can do for us far more than all our friends. It is better to be content with God alone than to go about fretting and pining for the paltry trifles of time and sense. For a while we may have disappointments, but if these bring us nearer to the Lord, they are things to be prized exceedingly, for they will in the end secure to us the fulfillment of all our right desires. In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. As he continues these studies in the Lord's Prayer, Dr. Cairns is seeking to discover Christ's teaching behind the various petitions contained in the prayer. In considering the simple request, "Give us this day our daily bread," we've already seen that there is more to this request than a mere satisfying of our need for food. By teaching us to pray this petition, the Lord Jesus seeks to remind us of our mortality. He further shows us our need for the sensible and spiritual attitude toward our bodies. Another lesson is that of humility. The Lord is seeking to impress upon us our absolute dependence upon Him for everything. As Dr. Cairns will show, the petition also contains a note of comfort, for it shows us that God is concerned about the simplest needs in our lives. Furthermore, it is a challenge to us to learn the lesson of contentment. Finally, although the obvious emphasis in the petition is on simple bread, the spiritual lesson points us to the need of our souls to feed on Christ, who is the bread of life. Now to conclude this message, food for our good. Here is Dr. Cairns.
So in your prayers, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Don't let me be so full of plenty that I forget my dependence on God. Don't let me be so poor that I'm driven to theft and take the name of my God in vain. Humility. Lord, I depend on you for even the bread I eat, for the breath I breathe. I depend on you for every moment of every day. When I realize that dependence, it not only humbles the flesh, but it brings us to the place of faith, brings us to the place of waiting on God. It brings us to the place of consecration, where what we are coming from God is laid at His disposal for Him to use as He will. It's also a note of great comfort that the Lord Jesus introduces into this text, because He's saying, this is what you pray for, daily bread. Now, stop and think for a moment. That is not a very big request, apparently. Here you've got an individual, a little insignificant individual. Your government knows you exist by a social security number. Or maybe if the IRS is running after you. But that's the only reason they know you exist. And if they know little about you, they care less about you. Your neighbors hardly know you exist. If you're gone tomorrow, you'd be remembered and then forgotten as quickly as you passed away. That's life. That's just life. And yet here's this little insignificant nobody, and he's lifting up his heart to God. And he's saying, Lord, I'm asking today for enough bread to meet the needs of this day. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that the God of heaven, the one who holds the whole world in His hand, the one who holds the mighty bodies of the heavens in their place, who has the great interminable motion of the heavenly bodies constantly under His own constant regulation and care, the God of heaven is personally interested in the smallest need of the individual child of God. You can pray about things that are so small, you'd be ashamed to bring them to the attention of others. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, later on in this chapter, verse 31, take no thought, no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Don't be worried about tomorrow. Why should we not worry about tomorrow? Because, He says, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of those things. He knows you've need of those things. You don't worry about tomorrow. The Lord will provide for tomorrow. you pray about it. What's the antidote to worry? It's prayer. But what's the basis of prayer? It's the assurance, the comfort that your Father knows and understands. But to the note of comfort, he adds a note of challenge. Notice what he says, pray for. Pray for what? Bread. Bread. This is the most fundamental staple of the diet. He's not praying for great luxuries. He's not praying for great plenty. He's saying you pray for bread. In other words, he says, to God you can address your need, but not your greed. And the Lord may give you more than bread. He actually usually does. But Christ emphasizes this to teach us the necessity of contentment. Remember what Paul told Timothy? Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. I read a quotation from somebody or other the other day. I always read these quotes above the puzzle section in the Greenville News. I've told you the greatest page in the Greenville News is the crossword puzzle. And the cryptoquote. I get to do the cryptoquote because my wife doesn't like it. Everything else she does. But anyway, above that there's a section on bridge. Now I have to confess ignorance. I haven't a clue about bridge. The only bridge I know is one that spans a river. Don't know anything about bridge. I have deliberately kept myself over the years in total ignorance. Absolute and total ignorance as to the meaning of any card in a deck of cards. I know nothing about them. To me, they're the devil's cards, and anybody plays with them, even for what's supposed to be normal, non-gambling, non-hurtful things, I think is playing the fool. I think the deck of cards was born in hell, and the sooner it gets back there, the better. But that's another story. I'm an ignorant fellow. I just say that to clear myself, because when I look at the bridge section, I haven't a clue about it. I don't know anything about it, but there's always a little quotation up there. And there was a quotation the other day that went straight to the heart of this. Said something like this. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. It said something like this. The people are made happy less by reality than by comparison. In other words, we have become so stupidly perverted that we look at what somebody else has, and because we have less, we are so driven by envy, jealousy, malice, greed, that we destroy what happiness and contentment we have. The Apostle Paul, and here in our text, the Lord Jesus Christ is issuing a challenge to this. And they're teaching us, if God has given you enough to meet your need, then be content. And instead of judging yourself by what somebody else has or what somebody else doesn't have, forget about them. At least forget about their possessions and get before God to be content. After all, if you have enough food for today, you can't eat any more than what you can eat today. If you have clothes to clothe you now, then, look, that's all you can wear today. Therewith be content. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. He wrote to the Hebrews, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Why? How can you be content if you're making $20,000 a year and everybody around you, which will not be true in this church, I'm sure, but everybody around you is making $100,000 a year? How can you be content? Well, here's how. For he has said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I want to tell you, in my job, I get to see people not only in the high days of joy and accomplishment, but I get to see people at the other end of life. I get to see them when all the money they've ever made means nothing, when all the places they've ever been mean nothing, when all their great accomplishments mean nothing. There's only one thing that matters. That is the presence, the protection, the fellowship, the grace of the living God. If you have the Lord with you, he says, be content. Be content. That's the challenge. And I'll say this as we close. I said at the beginning, this is a simple prayer. It doesn't refer to communion bread, and it doesn't refer to Christ, the bread of life. That's true. But there's a great difference between interpretation and application. And I think it's impossible for a Christian to pray this prayer without thinking of John chapter 6 and without thinking of Christ, the bread of life. You know, if your body has needs for bread every day, so does your soul. And so the literal meaning drives you to consider the spiritual. Lord, feed me today on the living bread. Feed me today on Jesus Christ. Now let me finish with a very simple question. I would imagine most of you had breakfast this morning. And yesterday morning, and the morning before, and probably lunch or supper or both, right? Nothing wrong with that. Not finding any fault with it. But let me ask you, have you fed on the bread of life today? Did you feed in the bread of life yesterday? Have you opened that book and not only glanced over the ink on the page, but stopped to read it? Stopped to think on it? Stopped to pray over it? In the week that's just gone, day by day, have you come like the children of Israel did to take the manna from heaven? Have you come to feast on Christ? Have you come to think through the great truths of the gospel and have them applied to your own heart? Have you honestly come to the Lord and cried day by day, Lord, I don't want simply to exist, I want to live. I don't want simply to get by, I want to be in the enjoyment of Jesus Christ. I want this to be more than a name, more than a profession, more than something that I wear on Sunday going to church. I want to be in living touch with the living Christ. Oh, it is good simply to pray, Lord, give me today what I need for the body. But as soon as you pray that, if you're a Christian at all, there will come the realization, I have a need even more urgent. Lord, give me food convenient for my soul. Give us today the bread we need for this day. Give us it for the body. Give us it for the soul.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.